Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You made it. It's the end of the week. It is Friday. And then on The Takeaway, that means we're going to take a look back and ahead at some of our big headlining stories. Joining us now, Jeff Yang. He writes the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal and blogs for WNYC's It's a Free Country. Also with us on Skype, Lisa Randall, professor of science at Harvard University, and Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for our co-producer, WNYC. And obviously breaking news here. We finally got our jobs report. How did ADP get this so wrong, by the way?
Well, you know, the ADP is a measure of just employment surveys. They basically have a lot of employers, a lot of their clients provide a survey of how well they're doing in terms of jobs, how many people they're hiring. So they see a universe that is similar to some of the reports that the government does, but not quite the same thing. So they don't always correlate.
They predicted a lot more jobs than we got. We ended up with
They don't always correlate very directly. And I think a lot of economists, a lot of people try and, like, you know, parse out how is the jobs report going to look from that report. Sometimes it's on and sometimes it's really off in either direction. So, you know, it's a little bit of the tea leaves going into this report when it comes up.
And we should remind people, the United States added 80,000 jobs in June. That means unemployment rate remains unchanged at 8.2%. And Jeff, immediately we saw all over Twitter, terrible news for the United States and for President Obama. I mean, every bad report where the unemployment rate doesn't change is bad news for the president?
I think it's the overall narrative that's a bad news. I mean, you know, if there's anything that Obama wants to do, it's more or less to not get stuck in kind of the mire of talking nothing about nothing but the economy. That's the one thing that I think Romney actually has a strong counter-argument to make against keeping Obama in office. And, you know, obviously there's been plenty of distractions on a monthly basis that have sort of skewed that strategy on the part of the Romney camp. But this persistent drumbeat that the economy is flagging, stagnating, is not ever going to be good for any sitting president.
You know, Charlie, I've gotten at this point kind of used to hearing these doomsday predictions that, oh no, the jobs report wasn't as good as we thought. This means the economy's going straight into the toilet.
Can I be the optimist? Let me play optimist for a minute. I mean, optimistically, there are three things that economists will often look at to see if the jobs report is going to get better. If temporary workers go up, basically that employers are looking to hire more people, but they're hesitant to do it, so they bring on temporary workers. There were a lot of temporary workers hired. That's good. There's also an increase in the amount of money you get per hour, showing that employers are willing to pay you a little bit more before they hire someone. That went up slightly. And the third one is the number of hours worked, and that went up slightly as well. Again, this idea of employers will ask you to work a little bit more before they hire someone. So all three of those were up. So those are positive signs for job growth in the future. But as we've seen for the last 3 years, we've been here before where the year starts out really well, it gets really bad in the summer, and then it kind of just is flat for the rest of the year. So, I mean, I'm optimistic, but I want to, you know, I want to hedge my bets there.
All right. Well, we don't have to hedge our bets with Lisa Randall. Lisa Randall, nice to speak with you.
Thank you.
An optimistic report coming out of the science community this week. I mean, do you think, Lisa, that most people at this point understand what was discovered at CERN, the Higgs boson? Do people understand that, do you think?
Well, I don't think everyone does. It's a difficult concept, and it's one of the reasons I wrote a book trying to explain it, knocking on heaven's door. I mean, there are some difficult concepts that go into particle physics, but I think there is the sense that everyone does understand that something new and fundamental has been discovered that helps us explain what's going on at a deep level with fundamental particles.
Put it in context for me, Lisa, because there's a lot of people comparing this as a moon landing moment. Do you think that's a kind of too much?
You know, I think it shouldn't be underestimated just what went into this, in the sense of it's happening at CERN, which is a European organization. Of course, there's participation from the United States and countries all over the globe. And it really is an international effort in this case. So I think in the sense that it was many people contributing that really we had this goal. The goal isn't solely to find the Higgs boson, which is probably what was found, but it's to really understand what's going on at those scales. And hopefully this is just the start of what we're going to find. So in some ways, I think that's a very nice way of thinking of it. And in fact, we hopefully will have a lot of science coming out of this.
You'll notice, Lisa, I refrain from calling it the God particle. I hope you appreciate that.
Well, you did until now. I had one email that referred to it as the atheist particle, which I think is more appropriate.
Let me talk to you, Jeff. This could potentially be a sad day because we're hearing reports that Jeremy Lin of Lin Sanity of the Knicks may, in fact, go to Houston. Although it's not settled yet.
Temporary insanity.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yes, the Knicks' own God particle. but no, there is word, apparently, that he's accepted a contract offer with Houston, which has been looking to replace its, I guess, bridge to the Asian continent or something. since Yao Ming left, there has been a hole in their game, and it's certainly been a hole in terms of their marketing. And Jeremy has proven that he's not just popular among Asian Americans, but globally, and especially in China. And China is the biggest emerging marketplace in the world for a lot of things, basketball being very high on that list. And the word is that they've offered him an offer that would be very difficult. I mean, I would sign for that offer.
$40 million, right?
$40 million. He played 26, games last year, and he's coming off an injury, and they realize that he's got a huge amount of potential on multiple levels. But the Knicks do have the ability to match, and it would put a hole in their budget. A very large hole, yes.
Akin to a black hole, almost, Lisa.
It would be like a Euroland hole, right?
That's right.
but we'll see what happens. Let's cross our fingers.
All right. But, it could be bad news.
It could be
bad news. All right. And then there's another personnel change. I mean, let's just talk about personnel changes here, because the other big news, which surprisingly took headlines even on the day of the Supreme Court decision, was Ann Curry leaving today.
Yeah. And, it's...
Well, let me poll you really quick.
Okay.
Charlie, did you watch that?
No, I did not watch it. I read about all the coverage of it, but I didn't see it.
Lisa, did you watch Ann Curry's tearful goodbye on today?
I did not.
All right, so among the three of us.
Well, this could be part of the reason why she's leaving, I suppose. the ratings have been tough.
Fairness, I didn't watch her any other day either.
I mean, it's sort of sad. She is a great reporter. She can do terrific work, but this was not her element. I think the thing that was most... weird in some ways about her leaving was the degree to which people were trying to unpack it. It was almost like Kremlinology. It's like, what is it that's making her not succeed in this role? Is it because she's half Asian or grew up slightly in,
whoa, really?
Really, yeah. There were people saying it could be because, her upbringing. I think they talked about...
it was all Matt Lauer.
Could be. But he's been around forever, and he's still going to be around. And they're talking about a couple different people as potential replacements. But I think mostly it's that she was a bit of a square peg in a round hole.
Well, but Charlie, she added to her the bad news on unemployment, right?
No, not at all. She actually got a great deal out of it in some aspects. She now she's been given sort of a staff of seven people, sort of a special correspondent at large to sort of cover a lot of the things that she really cared about around the world, whether it's doing documentaries or filling in as an anchor for Brian Williams for the nightly news show. So she came out of it perhaps not exactly what she was looking for, but I mean, it does show it's such an incredibly competitive time period in the morning. The three networks have really been trying to, I mean, I should say the two, ABC in particular, has been really nipping at the buds of NBC. And in fact, for the first time, they won a couple times. So this is a huge cash cow for NBC. And so from a pure management point of view, if they're trying to figure out how do we get the money back, how do we make sure that we keep number one, if they feel that the weak point was Ann Curry, then, do you also commend them, perhaps? I'm not saying that they handled it the right way, but...
Yeah,
saying,
who
look,
wants
we need
to get fired
we need
on
to
national
make a change.
Television?
Yeah, I mean, that's the downside. I mean, you basically were fired on national TV. That's
And cried in front of everybody. I mean, that's... Savannah Guthrie, my producer, is making sure I mentioned, is the new co-host. But, doesn't this also kind of speak to the problem with TV right now? We were talking about a pretty weak sector. I mean, in general, people's lifestyles are moving away from sitting down and watching television.
The biggest thing that really stood out recently is back in May, when the networks come out and they reveal what their new programming is and trying to get people excited about the fall, was that at the same time, for the first time, a really coordinated effort by all the online providers, Hulu and AOL and YouTube, coming out and saying, hey, look at the programs that we have on the internet. We're not competing with the networks, but of course they're competing with the networks.
Yeah.
They're trying to get advertising dollars, and what is a screen?
Right.
Is it a TV, or is it your computer that can plug in? I think that's sort of where the future is.
Lisa Randall, professor of science at Harvard University, science could help out here. I mean, another moon landing. Think of the numbers on TV. The problem with the Higgs boson is we couldn't watch it.
Well, you know, it's true that you can't watch it, but I do think that they did actually a great job of getting the word out. People know that a new particle was discovered. And the last time when the top quark was discovered at Fermilab in the United States, I don't think it was as big news. Of course, that was a particle we knew would be there. It wasn't something that really enhanced our understanding of the Standard Model, but it still was a big deal. And I really do think CERN should be commended for getting the word out. And I think my hope is that people will be sufficiently interested in science to follow up and find out what's going on now.
Well, I certainly know more about it than I ever did before. Lisa Randall, professor of science at Harvard University. Jeff Yang, writer of the Dow Jones column for Wall Street Journal, blogger for WNYC's It's a Free Country, and Charlie Herman, the business and economics editor for WNYC. And if you want to read more, you can read Lisa Randall's book, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Thanks to all three of you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.